Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I can't tell if it's Gruden or it's a parody of Gruden when I'm watching.
I don't think he used to say man that much, but I think he's been forced into it with the imitation.
Because of Caliendo and Mike Ryan and the Levitard show does a phenomenal. But yeah, I mean, he is poking fun at himself pretty good right now. Hard Knocks has turned out to be a great idea by the NFL and HBO. It wasn't as much Antonio Brown as I thought this Tuesday. It still was. I think this year has been good. I don't think it's been as great as some others. But you should make Gruden the central part of it. He's a bizarre person.
He's the football coach's football coach.
Yes.
All the way. And I told you in these texts that I never really cared for him, but he's endearing because I think he totally buys into everything he's saying.
Like, 100%.
There's so many guys who are totally phony about it. They're just Mr. Rah-Rah.
Yeah.
But he loves the game.
Yeah. Oh, my God. He loves everything about it. And he is another one of those guys, because you had the stories forever where he'd wake up after an hour's sleep and go in there and diagram play. I mean, the video of Sean McVay working with him when he looks like he's 5 years old is pretty stunning. I'm going to say this. I think John's a slightly better quote than Rocco.
Let's play some football here!
Who was that?
Rocco. Man, he can't give us a damn thing, can he?
Almost slightly critical of his own team yesterday.
Almost.
When defensive play.
Right. When we and others have been saying for a while, they're booting the ball around the field in the second half on a regular basis. Okay. They're now up to fourth in the league? Or no, maybe they're third in the league in errors in the shortstop. You know, the shortstop was magnificent the first half of the season. He obviously hasn't been nearly as good at the plate. And then you had three errors in this series. Jorge, he deserves some criticism, you know, the way he's played. Then the bullpen, Gleeman had a great item the other day. The Twins bullpen, which I said the other day, when you think in theory, it should be okay. Rogers has been one of the... That's just got to be a top five closer in the American League this year, right? And then if Dyson would pitch like Dyson pitched with the Giants, and if Romo would pitch like he did with the Marlins, that would be a good 7-8-9 setup. And if you're rotating Duffy and May in the sixth inning, that should be a decent setup. But as Aaron Gleeman pointed out yesterday in a tweet, the bullpen is the worst win probability added in baseball since the All-Star break. And, oh, by the way, it's twice as bad as the next bullpen. Now, they didn't have Romo. They didn't have May. But, yeah, the bullpen has been an absolute disaster at times this month. What is it, 5 blown saves in the month of August? And we'll get to see who the ringer calls the best pitcher. Best starting pitcher in the American League, Lance Lynn. Which day is Lance starting? I saw it and I forgot I could grab.
Protect the merchandise, man.
I love that.
Could Rocco give us a little bit of that? Let me go to the handy-dandy Star Tribune because I'm an old man. I still get the
must
page.
Be Sunday.
Is it Sunday? Where do I go to my little preview section? Here we go. Here we go. Yes. Lance Lynn. And we got Big Mike tonight.
Big Mike's back off the disabled list. I'm sorry, the injured list, and is on.
Okay, so did we move Smeltzer back to Friday then? Because it was supposed to be Smeltzer, Odo, Jose, and Big Mike Sunday. Have they given us any more on The sequence?
See, Friday they have listed TBD, and Saturday, and I don't see anything for Sunday yet.
So. Interesting. So maybe they moved everybody back, but Smeltz. Well, Martin pitched Tuesday, right? No, he pitched. He pitched Tuesday.
So he pitched the game that they wanted.
In theory, I think we're seeing that. I think they're telling us. Guess what? We're going to see Martin on Sunday. And Smeltz has been bumped to the bullpen. I think that's what it is, right? Not too tough to figure that one out. Okay. The president, Israel, Representative Omar. Let's jump into that topic. When we come back, Adam has an update right now.
That was a big double play there.
What was that there, sir?
That was a big double play there.
That was a big, big double play. Who's surprised that Donald Trump is encouraging another country to ban people? He's like, that's my bit. Use my bit and do it. Let's not forget the candidate who won, who is my president. Let's be clear. He's my president just like he's yours. Said, we need to ban all Muslims from the country. All Muslims. No due process. Nothing. Zero. No evidence at all. That if you're Muslim, you shouldn't be allowed in the country. So, of course, today, after a spokesperson in our only interview so far said the day before, absolutely not is the president pressuring Bibi Netanyahu. The new White House spokeswoman said, oh, that's ridiculous. The president is not pressuring Bibi Netanyahu. About 18 hours later, he's calling out and saying, it would show great weakness if Israel allowed Representative Omar and Representative Tlaib to visit. They hate Israel and all Jewish people, and there's nothing that can be said or done to change their minds. Minnesota and Michigan will have a hard time putting them back in office. They are a disgrace. Mr. President, if you think she's going to lose the office to a Republican, I'll buy Mar-a-Lago from you. I mean, honestly, there's 0.0% chance a Republican is going to win that district. Now, will we get another Democrat to run against her as somebody likes the horse race? Somebody likes the story? I hope we do. I'd be curious to watch it. I personally don't think that's going to happen.
No, I mean, I think there was a point in time where maybe there was some rumblings in that direction.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the harder the president goes after her, the more he guarantees that there won't be a primary.
Well, I think today actually ended any chance.
I'm with you.
When the president of the United States, Adam Carter, is telling another country, an enormous ally of ours, that two duly elected congresswomen should not be allowed in your country because they don't agree with the leader of your country and they don't agree with him. Take that in. That is another remarkable embarrassment. And let's get this on the table again. I have found a number of Ilhan Omar's comments anti-Semitic. I have said that on the show over 20 times. I have not bought at all her explanation. Oh, I had no idea about the Benjamins or this and that. Please. Here's a texter who's clueless. You're wrong. He wanted to ban certain Muslim countries, the ones who chant death to America. No, he didn't. When he had the press conference, when he was still running, it was to ban all Muslims. Then, when he was elected, and he knew he couldn't do that, that's when he altered the policy. Okay. Israel can do this, okay, as bizarre as it seems, because a law was passed in 2017. Israel can bar entry to people considered prominent advocates of boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement, the BDS here in this country, a loose network that, among other goals, aims to pressure Israel into ending the occupation of West Bank. Pro-Israel advocates accuse the movement supporters of anti-Semitism. We have too many anti-Semites in this country. By the way, most of them are white nationalists. You think they're voting? You think they're voting for who do you think they're more likely to vote for, Adam Carter? Representative Omar or President Trump? What is just your just a wild guess? The white nationalists, who almost all of them are anti-Semites, who, by the way, in Charlottesville were chanting, "Jews will not replace us. Jews will not replace us." And then the president said there were fine people on both sides. This is where we're at now. You know, Adam, you know the president would like to do this also for other individuals who are elected officials who are visiting America from other countries. And if they have spoken out and they have been critical and specific about the president's policies, do you have any doubt, Adam, that he would like to ban those individuals from the United States of America also? Because I don't.
No.
None. This is one where you have to move beyond your politics, and I should just stop. I should stop right there, because what percentage of people are willing to do that still? Again, I found her comments offensive. Some of the comments were just flat out anti-Semitic. She never, ever, ever once, or Representative Tlaib, ever said, "I hate Israel and all Jewish people." That is an unquestioned lie. This is the guy, by the way, who numerous people have said over the years, "You know what Donald Trump says? I got to get the Jews to manage my money. They're good at that." That's Donald Trump saying that. So you know what? That's vile and disgusting. But you have a chance to vote for him. You have a chance to decide if you agree with that stereotype, if you want to put that aside and accept the overall philosophy. But honestly, this is where we're at in this country, that if you don't agree with the president, he is going to pressure Israel or any other country and say, "You shouldn't let two congresswomen." These are not individuals who've had problem with the law. These are not individuals who are on a watch of any sort. They're elected congresswomen who you have the right to disagree with. I don't agree with plenty of things Representative Tlaib has said also, but that's where we're at right now. They shouldn't be allowed to speak unless you agree with the president. They shouldn't be allowed to go somewhere. And you're fine with that? That is what you think is okay in this country? Because that is a remarkable, slippery slope. That's what we want in our country? Because if the president loses, and by the way, how about the latest Fox poll on the president, by the way? Fox News, his disapproval rating has jumped to 56%. That isn't MoveOn.org's poll. Independents are approving him at 32%. So if it's Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders or somebody who's far to the left, you'd want them to say various conservative congressmen or congresswomen are not allowed in other countries? Tell me you're a little better than that. It's 22 past 2. You want to chime in through a text or phone call? You can at any point. 651-989-9226. You are. Good for that realization, Dan. Two other political items and one other item. Dare on the House. You've always been a big backer of Steve King, Adam. I know you've said that many, many times.
Yeah.
Would there be any population of the world left if we did that regarding the number of people who were born through rape or incest? He is suggesting our civilization would have ended by now and is only available because of the, I guess it would be billions of people born by rape or incest. I get the conversation that many people have when they're adamantly against abortion. And they say conception begins right away and it shouldn't matter. I disagree. Okay? I think it's more viability. I don't go as far as some other states do on when abortions could take place. But this is the mind of this individual who's trying to justify this by saying civilization would have ended without this type of behavior. And then when he's confronted by a reporter who says, okay, there was a 10-year-old in your own state, and she was raped by your uncle. Should she have the kid? He's like, oh, boy, I haven't heard of that. I mean, it's such an extreme example. That's what we're talking about. April Ryan, CNN and multiple other outlets. She's at an event recently, Adam, where she's speaking, and she had her bodyguard there. And another journalist from the New Brunswick Today was there and was going to videotape it. April Ryan's bodyguard took down his camera, carried it out of the room. Surveillance video shows him getting violently dragged out of the event by the man, and the guy doesn't handle it very well. April Ryan is not even responding to anything on this. In fact, she's blocking anyone who's asking her about this. Okay, April Ryan has been a longtime D.C. reporter. Oh, she's been very direct in her criticism towards the president. The president has been insulting at times towards April Ryan, very insulting. But, Adam, if you're a journalist and you're at an event, and because there was another journalist there who was allowed to stay, and you're selectively allowing which journalist can stay at the event, I guess I need to hear a hell of a lot more about this, or else this strikes you as pretty hypocritical, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm not aware of the story, so I'd have to look into it a little more. But yeah, I mean, if you're saying certain journalistic outlets can cover it and others not, that's...
And when a huge part of your protest has been, well, number one, his words and his policy, but also his access, and now you're speaking and saying journalists aren't allowed to hear you speak, that begs a number of questions that she should sit down and make herself available instantly for some pretty strong questions. Crying on the job. More than 8 in 10 workers admit to crying at work, with almost half of them saying they were driven to tears because of their bosses or their colleagues. 8 in 10. That seems high, doesn't it, Adam? 8 in 10?
Yes.
Cook? 8 in 10.
Seems very high to me.
That seems...
If we had guessed, I would have maybe gone 4.
I'm not going over 50%, are you? And again, there's a lot of horrible bosses, tyrants, lousy coworkers, maybe certain talk show hosts that really annoy you. But... to the point where 80% of people, and by the way, there's nothing wrong with crying. There's zero. It's natural. If that's what you do, you don't have to be ashamed one bit. But they talk about toxic boss, coworker, heavy workload, make people cry. Even though the majority of workers say they've cried at work, it's likely that they're closing the door of a conference room or taking a moment in the restroom to shed tears. Have you ever spotted anybody crying? What
here?
You,
yes.
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 A coworker.
Several times.
About a boss.
Yes.
Okay.
Or a boss or a coworker. Yes.
Or a coworker. Right.
Have you seen me at my desk at 3:05 every day?
I was waiting.
What the hell has happened in my life?
I was waiting for that joke. I would.
What do you mean joke?
Yeah. I would guess. I guess it's 95% of people who have spotted a coworker crying at work. Is that too high?
Nah.
No, I think that number's pretty darn close.
Right? Yeah. Do we still have too many people look down at folks who cry? Are we?
Yes, very much so, I'm sure.
Do you think we're better at that, at accepting that?
Maybe a little. But we have a long way to go on that.
Maybe a little, right? What percentage of guys, Carter, since we're playing the percentage game, what percentage of guys will see another guy crying and won't either inwardly or outwardly think, what the hell is this guy doing? It's still way too high. The macho BS, turn your man card in nonsense. I don't sense we're that better in 2019 from
yeah, 10. A little better, but that's probably I was still probably 35%.
Still just look at guys yeah. and shake their head. Dan,
suck it up, Buttercup.
Yeah, suck it up, Buttercup. If it's 35% and I got to go over or under, I'm going over.
I was just
going
to say, I have to go over if I have to go over. I think that's a pretty good number, but if I have to pick one, it's over.
I got
to
go over. Do you plan on tearing up later today here at all? Or because, you know, your time.
I told you, 305.
305. Or even now.
Oh, now, yeah. No, when Dara's here, I don't cry when Dara's around.
Yeah, yeah. What if Dara
happy tears.
What if Dara would have walked in and the three of us just would have been sobbing right here? What would your reaction have been?
I would have given you a hug.
Oh. Aww. Well, then maybe we should start sobbing right now. Yeah, yeah. 233, Dara in the house. Giants Ridge, on a day like this, spectacular. Temperature 77. Some would say Adams Carter would be 77. He tells me, you've told me now that you've mastered the game, right? You're dialed in. He would own maybe the Legend, maybe even own the Quarry. Two fantastic golf courses. Giants Ridge is three, maybe even 3.5 hours north of the Twin Cities, located in the heart of the iconic Iron Range. Giants Ridge has been around for a long time. They know customer service extraordinarily well, and they pull it off whether it's a buddy's trip. They pull it off whether it's guys, gals, family, you name it. It's not just golf, even though I love to go there and play golf. They've got great hiking trails. In the winter, it's an amazing place to go. Biking, accommodations with pool, and the food is outstanding as always. And they have different types of accommodations there, places to stay, whether it's right in the main lodge or some of the cabins right just on the site. The best way to check out all the information, GiantsRidge.com.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Dara is here, and I'm sure we'll laugh and have some fun with Dara during the segment, but we have some sad news here that you have about someone who's been very successful and very influential in this town in the restaurant business. Share.
Yeah. So first of all, don't panic. It's not nobody died. All right. So Facebook, everybody puts out their own news in their own ways these days. So I think it was yesterday or possibly Monday, Jack Riebel put out a thing. And Jack has been one of the, you know, just most important chefs that we have in town. He's opened the most restaurants, I would say, in the 2010s or the most significant restaurants. Talking about the Lexington, of course, the showpiece, but also Il Foro, even if it was ill-fated, and Butcher and the Boar. Sometimes we forget. He's the opening chef. He designed that menu.
Still
he designed
successful.
That concept. Wildly successful. Yep. One of the most successful restaurants in Minneapolis. Right. Before that, he was the chef at La Belle Vie for many years when it was in Stillwater, and Tim McKee and the crew that were kind of the front facers of that when they were here opening Solera. And before that, he was a sous chef at Goodfellas for a decade. So he has been.
Think about all those places.
Yes.
Those are all phenomenal places.
Yes. I mean, if you were
influential
going,
too.
If you were going to pick like the Minnesota chef of the, you know, last 20 years, Jack Riebel would be in the running. He would be possibly the person at the top. And he's just a wonderful person. He's a kind of rootin' tootin' cowboy, you know, profane.
He came in here one day on a Thursday because you and Brussels Huffington, and it was the only time I ever talked to him, even though I've ate at his restaurants forever. And he just seemed like a great guy.
He was off the menu not 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. Little did I know. No, it was actually in mid-June. We were at the Classic Car Show. Okay. And so he had been feeling rotten all winter, gone in. And, you know, they're always I'm going to just complain about doctors for a minute. I feel like every time a doctor can just be like, not my problem, your problem, they'll just shove you out the door again. And they do that to Food and Wine people all the time. We're just like, oh, you should live like I do. You know, it's like, well, I don't live like you do. I stay up and I eat things and I drink things and that's what I do. Anyway, so his doctor apparently just blew him off for a while and was like, oh, you're fine. Well, turns out he had a kind of a cancer. It's called neuroendocrine cancer. And this is the cancer that Aretha Franklin and Steve Jobs had. It is not a good deal. You're not not winning the lottery.
Yeah.
And he wants people to know, kind of, so that people can not gossip and that people can, you know, sort of know what the facts are. And so we have a story coming out on this on Minneapolis St. Paul Magazine sometime, I think, soon.
Yeah.
I think they're trying to make to control the message, which I understand. I mean, you know, chemo. So he started right around 4th of July. He started all the things, you know, so he got the port put in and he started chemotherapy, and he's mm-hmm. going to be having chemo through the beginning of November and then hopefully recovering after that. And, you know, anyone who's known anyone who's gone through that, it's brutally difficult. It is such a tough process. And hopefully he heals after that, and hopefully we get another decade of Jack Riebel. But a lot of let's see if I can put this into language. So in restaurant world, the chef that is of the kitchen will often become sort of a surrogate father, you know, especially young men who work for him. And it is so true of Jack. I mean, he has – people call them chef babies, which is – it sounds kind of derogatory, but it's affectionately meant. You know, so he has people that he mentored all over this town. You know, he worked with Don Saunders at the Kenwood. He worked with, Nick O'Leary, who just recently took over the Greenies space in Northeast. I mean, he's just got so many. Joe Raleigh, who opened Italian Eatery. Just so many people worked so closely with him, and he's been so wildly influential. And so it's time for everybody to kind of rally around. You know, like if you love Jack, like he says he'll be there, you know, as much as he can, especially beginning of service, so when the restaurant opens – Thursday, Friday, Saturday, so 4 or 5 o'clock. If you want to go say hey, you want to, tell them how much the restaurant has meant to you, the redesign, all those things, now is the time. You know, so it's a time for the people that care about food in Minneapolis and St. Paul to show the love. You know, that's what you have to do when these tragedies come along.
Yeah. How everybody reacts to this differently. Right. Others keep it quiet. Others speak out. Others feel like they have to speak out. Considering you know him and have known him for so long, how would you say he's holding up?
I would say he is the scrappiest scrapper I've ever met. You know, he's a person who, you know, part of what's difficult about this is that he is, you know, the guy that could lift two kegs on each shoulder and run up the stairs and work 48 hours running. And, you know, he is the support. He is the person that people go to when they're having troubles. And so, you know, he is the kind of – he makes a joke of himself sometimes and kind of a Popeye the Sailor Man, like, I am what I am. You know, he dropped out of high school at 15 in St. Paul, and he, you know, built himself up through nothing but hard work and keeping his kitchen tight, and just, you know, he's a hero to so many. And so he, you know, has said to me that he is not afraid, but he is scared. You know, he doesn't do anything, you know, doesn't live in fear, isn't afraid going into this to fight it the same way he fights everything. His attitude is great. I'm not sure that a lot of other people, you know, a lot of people are shocked and worried, you know, the strongest person, you know, you know, the hardest, the saltiest, just the greatest guy. How could that happen to, you know, the leader of the pack? And so.
But it does.
It does.
And it does all the time. It just does. I mean, that's how illnesses and cancer. I mean,
none of us get out of this, alive. So, I mean, certainly it all it happens to all of us, and it's.
And it happens at all ages. And
yes.
It happens to 6-year-olds, and it happens to 50-year-olds, and it happens to family members. And that doesn't make it any easier when you think, okay, here's the perspective. When it's somebody who you know, somebody you love, and when they're going through it, you're like, I don't care about the other folks. Why is he or she going through it?
Yeah, it's people always say that Minneapolis is a small town, or Minneapolis St. Paul, as it were. And, you know, when something like this happens, then you suddenly see it. Like, you realize how many lives he has touched, how many people he has mentored, how many people, you know, you take people for granted. That's just what you do. You think they'll always be there.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's, you know, he's a fighter. If anyone could fight anything, he'd fight everything. But, you know, it's time. If you just feel like the only thing I can really say is it's time to show the love. You love Lexington? Tell him. Tell him now.
Jack Riebel is who Dara is talking about. Her story on MSBMag.org should be up any moment, right?
So, I hope. MSBMag.com. Something's going
That's right.
on.
Yep. MSBMag.com. You know, editors, stuff. Oh, yeah. It will be up there soon. Let's pause right here because we want to get to other stories that are lighter. And we have to take a break anyway at some point. So why don't we do it here? Probably the appropriate way to do it. 247. That is the Lindis Construction Time Check. Time to call for 50% off installation labor on Infinity by Marvin Windows. All right, let's run through a number of items with Dara. I saw this and had this written down to ask you, but then you sent the email to me too. The Bacon Social House.
Well, we did have our moments.
About this?
No, I don't think you should care at all. So
I love bacon, but
I do too. I do love bacon very much, but it's just it just seems like a corporate chain with like extra bacon. So it's called Bacon Social House. It's over by Viking Stadium, U.S. Bank Stadium, yep. And it's, you know, you look at the menu and it's like a burger, which you could put bacon on, and then it's a Caesar salad, and you could get a bacon appetizer. A lot of places already have a bacon appetizer, so yeah. I don't know if it's more bacony than anything else we already got.
Tell me about the Royal Foundry.
Yeah, this is kind of a fun, you know how suddenly in Minnesota there are just distilleries and breweries everywhere? You like lift
They
up.
Literally are everywhere, honestly. You basically bump into them.
The late 2010s was when we learned that bootleggers were right. It's profitable to make booze.
Yes.
It's been a good time. But so Royal Foundry is one of them. They make gin on the edge of downtown. You know where the farmer's market is? You go in downtown Minneapolis, you under the highway there, you just keep going and you're right there at Royal Foundry. And they put in a cyclotron course, and that's a British kind of very tight track bicycling. So if you've been thinking, I would like to bicycle in a circle really fast,
so like it's
now
a,
you got a time
it's
to
like
do
a
it.
Mini velodrome then?
Yeah, they're very popular in Europe.
So hold on a second. So I have gin, which I think is underrated. I don't think gin gets enough credit, by the way. I have gin.
I think that's supposed to be after.
And then I start biking around with other people.
Well, the other
Cook, this sounds good, doesn't it? I mean, this does.
What could possibly go wrong?
It's like roller derby, except you're on bicycles.
Sure.
Well, I don't think it's like you're not supposed to hit each other, but it's so tightly enclosed. Anyway, I think you're supposed to drink after, but I find it doesn't look appealing to me at all. I actually am one of those people who doesn't even understand why anyone wants those outfits, those little bikey outfits. I find them so silly. Yeah. But that's just me. They also have...
They would say, you sit on a bike for 3-4 hours a day, you'll feel a little bit better if you have one of those outfits on.
Yeah, I'm sure you would. It's a very odd
to me. I plan on buying you one.
They also have over there, so there's a brewery right next door, and the brewery put in this tiny, tiny soccer field outside. It's like a separate
place.
Yeah, it's just a place to do tiny sports and drink.
Okay, so is that a trend that's taking place now that
we have
a new place to drink, local angle, and by the way, we're going to set up some. So I've said for a while,
you can throw axes while you drink.
Right.
You can do pin bowling.
Okay, what I want to set up, I want to set up the wiffle ball bar. I think wiffle ball is a great sport. There's a huge story in The Ringer today about it. We didn't get to it because we've had a bunch of other things here.
Wiffly Chads? Is that what it's called?
I would do that, right? Right? Well, okay, if this is working, okay, I've got to have the booze has got to be unique, or the beer has got to be unique, or the food. And then in the back, I've got some cool setup where maybe it looks like Target Field. Right? Where somehow it looks like Target Field. I partner with the Twins. I've always loved the Twins. I believe in the Twins. And I got wiffle ball in the back.
Hit me up on Twitter, @DearDara. We'll fund this thing. I'm going. It's Wiffly Chads. We're going to do some rhubarb vodka and wiffle ball.
Rhubarb vodka.
Yeah.
Count me in. Kitten therapy at Lake Monster Brewing tonight. What exactly is taking place? And is Lindsay Gensel already there with multiple kittens?
You should text her. Well, there's now that there's so many breweries, you got to do something to get people out the door. It's, yeah. Remember when it was like there were like three of them and it was a big deal? You go to a brewery. Now you can't, you know, you can't.
Every block has three of them.
Exactly. Well, Lake Monster, they're, you know, raising money and having kitten therapy. And you can go and you can sign up and you can hold a kitten. And then you know what you do? You feel good because it releases all those wonderful endorphins from kitten holding. And you put your picture on Instagram. I got your whole night lined up for you. Lake Monster.
I bet it's packed.
I bet you can't even. I bet you got to go now to get a kitten. I bet you, yeah. You know.
I can assure you, I know one person who won't be there. That's me. Kittens, overrated. Iowa, Fair Foods. Pot roast tortilla wrap.
That is apparently the winner.
That sounds pretty good, actually.
It was okay. Andrew Zimmer, and I posted this story. I put it on my Twitter. And it just looks boring to me, actually. I mean, it looks okay, but it doesn't look like fair food. You know, it looks like, oh, it's a roast beef wrap or pot roast wrap.
So there's nothing else in the pot roast wrap
with the
flavoring?
Oh, no, there's a bunch of stuff. There's a candy corn salsa, and there's cheddar cheese, and there's a bunch of stuff. But Andrew says that the better move is to get the pot roast just straight up. Apparently there's a pot roast plate, but that didn't win. But here's a gross thing, because we want to make fun of Iowa, right? We got the Minnesota State Fair coming.
It's easy, yeah.
Deep-fried deviled eggs. They take the egg whites and bread them. Oh, I'm not done. Ugh. They take the egg whites and bread them and deep-fry them. But what do they do with the yolks, you ask? Why, they blend them and they present them to you in a cup. Just a cup of egg yolk to walk around the State Fair with.
Oh, please. Even though I like deviled eggs.
I love deviled eggs. Yeah, yeah. I'm not walking around with a cup of yolk. What am I?
All right. So 1 week from today, at this point, we should be extraordinarily full because it's become a tradition now. You, opening day.
I can't wait. And we're going to have marching orders. Dan Cook's been getting the samples. If you don't come between 2 and 3 o'clock to the WCCO booth, you're missing out,
you're
people.
You're a fool. You're better than that. Show up because we will have so many food items. Not for us to sample. Not only
for
us.
Also for us to sample.
Right. But just for the crowd also.
Free food. Come on down.
Thank you, Dara.
I can't wait.
1 week from today, we are at the State Fair. Feisty Friday tomorrow, the Mooch. Yes, Anthony Scaramucci, my father, and, of course, Shaletta.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.